back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest tonight is Dr. Ted Brewer of HealthMasters.com. Not only is he the founder of HealthMasters.com, he also has a radio show with his son, Austin, right here on Global Star Radio Network, which airs 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as right after the Hagman Report show here on Global Star Radio Network. And there's a 24-hour listen line where you can call in on your phone and listen to the show any time of the day. We were kind of talking about nutrition last segment, and I don't know where you want to go this segment, but I do have a story, Ted, that came out yesterday that I'd love to get your opinion on. I'm not sure if you saw this. New York Times editorial board horrified that Trump wants to fight radical Islamic terrorism. Now, I want to just read a few things from this article because, I mean, this is just, I could not believe this when I read this yesterday. The Times editors worried that Trump's approach to fighting radical Islamic terrorism, which they referred to with scarce quotes, is more likely to further inflame anti-American sentiment around the world than to make the United States safer. The emerging details suggest that Mr. Trump's plan to eradicate violent extremists are not only at odds with Mr. Obama's policies, they trample on American values and international law. The Times editorial found several problems with Trump's approach, including his use of the term radical Islam, which the editors say is a demonizing and alienating the world's 1.6 billion Muslims. The fact that he is reportedly considering designating the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, and the fact that he doesn't plan on closing Guantanamo Bay, they go on to say, is something that is a problem. The editors expressed its support for Obama's approach to fighting terrorism. Unlike Trump, Obama declined to say radical Islamic terrorism once during his 8 years in office. Trump has claimed the Obama administration's politically correct approach to fighting terrorism is at least partially to blame for the slew of domestic terrorist attacks during the Obama years. So what do you think, Ted? The New York Times approach. Don't call them radical Islam, but by you wanting to eradicate radical Islamic extremism, it's against American values and even international law, and to call it radical Islam demonizes the world's Muslims. Isn't that just so backwards?
Well, here's the thing. You know, if it walks and it quacks and it waddles like a duck, it's probably a duck. And, you know, when these guys get on internet and they cut people's heads off and they chop people's hands off and they do all these crazy things, and Saudi Arabia has its annual beheadings, I mean, it's just, it's not a religion of peace, period. I mean, one of the things they do in their creed and the stuff that I've read, now I may be wrong, because I'm not an expert on this, but it says that they feel that everybody has to do some penance, either like in a purgatory or in a hell type of situation, and that if you die in a holy jihad war, you get to bypass all that. And so this group of people really are radicalized for war and jihad. Now, they're not all like that. I have friends of mine that I know. I don't associate with them because they know that I'm a very strong born-again Christian. I try to be a follower of Yeshua, and I always try to bring honor and glory to Yahweh. Sometimes I do better than others. Sometimes I get aggravated in the flesh a little bit and I fuss too much. But the truth of the matter is that I've learned a long, long time ago that it's difficult to be best friends with a Muslim because they kind of try to proselytize you while you're proselytizing them. And the last time I met with this one guy who owns a restaurant in town, and he gives me a copy of the Quran, I'm thinking to myself, well, I've not read it. I'll keep the copy and read through parts of it. But, you know, it's not a religion of peace, contrary to George Bush's idiot statement that he made on that. And by the way, I know the Bushes. I know H, I know W, I know Jeb. I've met all three of them. I've done probably 50 seminars with H, and he does not have reptilian eyes. His eyes don't turn into slits when you walk up to him. None of that. I mean, I sat and had dinner with him multiple times. I mean, I'm talking like 3 feet away, you know, in bright light. George W., I met him one time at a local college here. And, of course, Jeb, I met him one time at a clemency hearing for a friend of mine who was getting a pardon in Tallahassee. So I know all three of these guys, and I know Barbara Bush really, really well. And when you first meet them, they just really, really are nice people. If you're in the same setting with them and you're one of the speakers with them, and they don't really seem like they are who they are, but they're not really good people. And I really believe that George H. was involved when he was part of the CIA with the Kennedy assassination. I believe that. If you watch the video from JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. I believe you'll probably believe the same thing. Now, I can't prove that. That's my personal belief. I really didn't pay any attention to that back 20 years ago when I was doing seminars with him. I started doing the seminars back in 93 or 94, all the way until the end of the decade, until about 99, 2000. So I did about 100 seminars anywhere from 10,000 people per seminar all the way up to 40,000. And I shared the platform with all of these famous people, so I know a lot of them. And so when I talk about some things, it's because I've been there, and I can say to you that George H. does not have slits in reptilian eyes, okay? Because I see these crazy videos on TV. They don't. I did not notice that with W. I wasn't close enough to Jeb Bush to see that. Now, the one person that was really slimy was Henry Kissinger. I didn't care for him at all. I felt like I was stepping into a bucket full of slime when I had to hang around him. Larry King, he was extremely nice. Bill Cosby, you can pretty much believe all the bad press on Bill Cosby. He was pretty much awful. And so there's a lot of people that I know that I have pictures of on the walls that I guess I need to post them on my website to let people know that I'm not making this stuff up as I go. So I was on the seminar circuit for many, many years. You know, it was called Success International at that point in time. And I enjoyed doing the shows. But now, back to your question, as far as Muslim radical jihadists, and should Trump not call this out? I know Muslims that aren't jihadists. I know Muslims that are really nice people, like I said earlier, and I don't know any really radical Muslims. I don't know them. Now, should Trump prevent them from coming into the United States from the countries that we bombed the holy living crap out of? Absolutely yes. And the reason for that is, we have gone into their countries under the Obama administration, which is like an oxymoron. Everybody believes that Obama is a Muslim, which I believe that too. You know, we all know that he's really pro-Muslim, pro-Quran, pro all of that stuff, pro prayer rugs in the White House, all the things that we've read about. But the problem is this. He's bombing his own Muslim countries like Libya. So he was taking orders from somebody else, and it's probably the Khazarian mafia again, which is running a lot of these different organizations, including the United States government. You know, by what they're doing with the control of the money supply, they pretty much took control of our government in 1933 when they did they started seizing the gold, and they set up the Exchange Stability Fund in 34. And I believe that's where the shadow government, and I've done whole shows with you on this, Joe, that's where the shadow government came in and took control of the treasury. And that's kind of who's running the United States ever since then. So it's a major, major problem. But do I believe that Donald Trump talking about radical Islam, Muslim terrorists is going to be a problem? Absolutely not. There's a group of these guys out there that they want to kill the United States, but they probably primarily want to kill us for various reasons, primarily because we bombed the holy living crap out of Syria, Iraq, we want to go into Iran, look what we did in Libya, look what we've done in Egypt. I mean, we have killed millions of these guys, and we bombed and killed their families, we've killed their brothers, their sisters, their fathers, their mothers. A lot of these guys are left by themselves, their wives are dead, their children are dead, and now we bring them over here because we want to give them sanctuary. Are we insane? Are we insane? Obama is insane. Why in the world, when you kill somebody's family, which we did, which I was completely and totally diametrically opposed that we did that, but we have to say we because it was we, the United States, though I never voted for this and I was opposed to it, why in the world do we think by killing their families, then bringing them to the United States, it's going to be happy, happy, we're all going to walk around smelling roses together? Are you joking me? Now, a lot of these, quote, false flags that we had under the Obama administration, a lot of these shootings, I believe were false flags that were set up like an Operation Gladio that they had in Europe or Operation Condor they had in South America. But the truth of the matter is this. We have a lot of people, because of our policies, that hate the United States, and the New York Times or whoever wrote these silly articles, Joe, they're absolutely nuts. Trump needs to call them out for what they are, and we need to pull out of the Middle East. We need to stop this crazy interventionist policy. Ron Paul is right about that. We need to bring our troops home, leave the president of Syria to do what he's going to do. The primary reason that silly war started in Syria, and it's not a silly war to those people because Damascus has been completely destroyed, is because Qatar wanted to run an oil pipeline through Syria, and Erdogan said no. So the crazy thing is this, Assad said no. And the thing about it is that if we don't get out of this mess, these countries are never going to be okay again because we keep provoking everything over there. So we need to leave them alone, let them set up their own dictatorships again or whatever they want to do, get the CIA out of it and walk away from it. We have plenty of oil in our country. We don't have to take oil from them at all. And it's nonsense, Joe. I mean, we're only doing it because of the petrodollar. And you know that and I know that. So again, it goes back to the Rothschild banking cartel, the United States through Bretton Woods being the reserve currency of the world, and of course the petrodollar being set up by Nixon to help maintain the stability of the dollar and only being able to trade for oil in that through these Middle Eastern countries. So all of that stuff has to change. The United States has to come with grip to the fact that we can't be spending money like a bunch of drunken sailors with troops all over the world, and we need to mind our own business, and we need to forget about these interventionist policies that were started by Woodrow Wilson, the man who, again, brought us the Federal Reserve Bank and, of course, the federal income tax. We need to basically turn back around and make this the greatest country again by getting rid of this national debt and by getting rid of this debt-based fiat money currency system, and realize that, guys, that these guys, these Rothschild bankers that are doing all of this to us are doing it to a lot of other countries at the same time, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if I find that they're in charge of all of this stuff through our CIA and doing all of these bombings and all of these killings per their instruction in the Middle East. What do you think, Joe?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the sad fact that, you know, a lot of these bombings and the plundering of other countries' natural resources that we use for energy is all done under the lie of it being some kind of humanitarian mission. This leader is you know, gassing their citizens, or this leader is persecuting their citizens, when, you know, 9 times out of 10, all that has been proven to be fake news, you know, right. Back to the fake news narrative. And then they...
Let's look at these countries for a second. Iraq. 4 presidents in a row have bombed Iraq. After a decade of brutal sanctions that primarily hammered Iraq's civil society rather than the government's leadership, the U.S.-led invasion in 2003 has led to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of deaths, and resulting in complete destabilization, which has made Iraq the world capital of terrorism. Number one. Libya. From 1986 airstrikes to the 2011 military intervention, to more recent attacks against ISIS camps in Libya, the country has almost continually been a U.S. site of military actions. Somalia. Somalia has been one of the focal points of the drone war, and the U.S. supporter for the Ethiopian invasion of the country did little help to stabilize a territory that is in perpetual humanitarian crisis. Sudan. In 1998, the U.S. blew up the Al-Shifa pharmaceutical plant, which manufactured over half of the country's pharmaceutical products. Although the attack was supposedly aimed at Osama bin Laden's terroristic network, no such links ever emerged. Look at Syria. The U.S. and other countries have been supporting rebel groups in Syria's civil war for years. The U.S. is also targeting ISIS and other extreme groups in an extensive air war campaign. And by the way, this is forbidden by the Treaty of Westphalia, which was done back, I believe, in the 1800s, which said that if a country is in the middle of a civil war, that no other power can come into that country and try to overthrow it or to help the rebels or to even help the government unless that government itself asks them to come in. Syria's told us to get out. In Yemen. Yemen is another ground zero for the drone war. The U.S. has also played a functional role in supporting Saudi-led interventions into the country's civil war, which left over 10,000 dead, much higher than that, by the way, and millions facing starvation. That's an accurate number. And it's led to a resurgence of an anti-American terrorist group that the drone war has supposed to be curtailing. This are the countries that basically Trump has said cannot come into the United States now, along with Iran. Remember, Iran was the site of the 1953 coup that was assisted by the CIA. The coup brought the Shah Mohammad Pahlavi to power, a dictator who ruled the country until his overthrow in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Following that revolution, the United States government supported Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's war on Iran, even as he used chemical weapons against Iranians. I mean, this whole thing goes on and on and on to the CIA involvement. Guys, remember this. Always remember that one book that was written by Paul Williams. It's called Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. One of the best books you're ever going to read. I know Paul, great man. I heard him preach at a church and speak at a church and teach at a church over in Tampa. He really is coming out with a new book now on the New World Order that'll be out hopefully in the next few months. But guys, it's just one of those deals. We've got to realize that we, the people of the United States, have given away our control of our government to the politicians that are corrupt. Half of the politicians, if not more, probably close to 70% of them are perverts or pedophiles or they go out with whores or they get drunk or they're on drugs and they've been blackmailed to do what they're supposed to do while they're in Congress or in the Senate. We know that. They've turned around and given over to the military. The military has given over to the CIA. The CIA is a satanic organization. Hopefully that'll change now with a new person coming in. And the CIA basically has given it over to the black magicians. And these people that are tying us into this D-Wave computer, supposed to put us into another dimension to be controlled by Lucifer by putting more Jellens tags and barium tags in us through the chemtrails. I mean, this whole thing's a mess. And if we think one guy named Donald Trump's going to go in and fix this mess and not get rid of this Federal Reserve Bank, which is running the show with a lot of this stuff, it ain't going to happen. He may give us some window dressing as far as what he wants to do, but unless he wants to get rid of, like we mentioned at the beginning in the first hour, unless he wants to get rid of Munchen, you know, this Goldman Sachs insider who's now the Treasury Secretary, it ain't going to happen, Joe. It's simply not going to happen, especially when Munchen doesn't want to audit the Fed or anything else. We need a Ron Paul should have been the Treasury Secretary if Donald Trump really wanted to make a difference. The problem was, had he told Ron Paul or asked Ron Paul to do that, Donald Trump probably never would have been inaugurated, Joe. He probably would have been assassinated before he could have gotten into office. So he may just be really holding his cards close to his vest right now to keep himself alive and try to make the changes that he can on the periphery until he gets the right people into place. And at that point in time, he's going to go ahead and go full throttle at this entire mess. I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
You know, kind of switching gears here, you mentioned Ron Paul a few times, and that's got me thinking. For the 08 election and the 2012 election, Ron Paul ran as a third-party candidate. He had a huge amount of grassroots support and organization. I believe in one of the races, you know, he won the Iowa caucus.
No, Joe, he ran as a Republican. He wasn't third party.
Oh, okay, Republican. I'm sorry. And you know, he won the Iowa caucus, and the media kind of took that away from him. I'm wondering how much of, and I've been wondering this here and there since the election, with the huge populist rise and support behind Donald Trump. I wonder how much of that was piggybacked off of what Ron Paul started in 2008. You know, getting, you know, the Ron Paul revolution, and that, I mean, there was a lot of people who liked his libertarian policies, and, you know, he had a good chance of, it almost seems like Trump replaced Ron Paul somehow. Remember, they used to say Ron Paul was too old, and, you know, he couldn't be president, he didn't know what he was talking about, and it seems like Trump, repackaged his message, rebranded his message under, Donald Trump, and won the election. I get maybe Ron Paul ran at the wrong time, and wasn't the right person for the job. I don't know. But, you mentioned a few times tonight that just got me thinking about that. And Ron Paul had one policy that he was not afraid to talk about in the campaign trail, which was auditing and changing the policies of the Federal Reserve. That was one of his main planks that he ran on. And I think that's one of the main reasons he got so much support from the people.
Well, the people in the United States. The internet has been a double-edged sword for the globalists. They want to use it to track us. I mean, they got the iPhones with their, I call them slave trackers, and they basically can track us anywhere we are now and know exactly what we're doing. And they put the black boxes in the car so they can tell you if you're speeding in the car and all the other things they're doing now. And so they really have used the internet as a sword against us. The problem is it's a double-edged sword. And what it has done is allowed us, we the people, to set up our own radio shows like you've done, like I've done, and like Alex Jones did. And he basically started way before the internet. But, you know, I've been doing this since 1981. I mean, I've been doing this for 37 years. And so I've been around for a lot longer than Alex has. I was just in a different venue doing what I do. And I wasn't really in the patriot movement, though I was awake and knew what was going on. I remember the first time, Joe, when I first got exposed to this, I had a friend of mine, Kevin Jordan, who sent me a bunch of newsletters. And I finally told him, I said, look, dude, I said, I don't want to know all this stuff. It was before the internet. And I said, it's too much information overload. I mean, I'm like suffering from normalcy bias and, you know, and learned helplessness right now. I don't want to know this stuff because it's just too negative. So finally, I got into this semi-retirement mode about 6 years ago, and I told you this on the show before. And God spoke to me in a dream, woke me up. I was soaking wet. In German, you say klitschen nass. I was soaking wet. I had to get in the shower at 1 o'clock in the morning because I was soaking wet from having been in the presence of God and basically being terrified, to be honest with you. And, you know, and I woke up completely just, wow, this is like not what I expected it to be. And he spoke to me and it got me basically working again. It got me out of a semi-retirement mode almost 6 years ago now. And that's why I do what I do, because I really feel that I've had a higher calling to do what I do at this point, because I was enough. I wanted to sit and finish raising my kids, help them through college, do what I needed to do. You know, Health Masters was already consistent and working. I didn't have to try to work with that anymore. And so I was doing the best I possibly could from where I was, but it was in a semi-retirement cycle type situation. Like I said earlier, the baby boomers are retiring. They're coming out of this whole situation now. They don't want to go back to work. And that's a lot of the skilled labor that we have. But Ron Paul is the one who laid the foundation stones for Donald Trump. Ron Paul is the one who basically came out and talked about the Fed in an open way. Ron Paul is the first person that actually got a partial audit of the Fed, in which they lost trillions of dollars and they didn't know where it had gone, and they refused to tell him where the money had gone. So he's the one who exposed them for the corrupt organization that they are, and it continues to do so. They're the ones that have got us in this massive debt pile that they've done. They've extracted the wealth of the United States. And Donald Trump has ridden on the coattails of the Ron Paul movement and, of course, the Patriot movement and, of course, the Tea Party movement. He's done all of that, and he's been able to capitalize on it so well because of the fact that he was able to run his campaign without having to rely on mainstream media through Twitter and alternative press, you know, through all of the things he does with his own website. So he really put a shock to the globalists because they really wanted the wicked witch, the Sabbatean witch, the real witch, the one who went to her real witch, you know, seances and her real witch covens every six weeks, according to Larry Nichols, in California when they were in the White House and in the governor's mansion in Arkansas. They wanted the witch of Benghazi in the White House, and they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to do that. So now Donald Trump has a choice here. He can be the John F. Kennedy from PT 109, who actually saw what happened in World War II, decided that he wasn't going to do what they wanted him to do when he wrote his book, Profiles in Courage, and he basically wanted to be what he needed to be for the United States population, and he took the high road, and he refused to succumb to the globalist agenda, and of course he was assassinated for it because he was riding around in an open limousine and allowed the people involved in the CIA and the Dallas Police Department and a bunch of other people involved in this to assassinate him. That's why it was so disheartening to me, and I couldn't believe it when Donald Trump got out of the limousine, the bulletproof limousine, and started walking down the parade route, waving at everybody. And I'll give him kudos for having some testosterone for doing that, but that is not a smart move for a man who so many people have issued death threats on, and I believe he needs to stay under his Secret Service protection, and I also believe he needs to continue having these special forces people that he's hired as a private army around him to make sure that he keeps the CIA clean, and he makes sure that he stays intact with these guys. So yes, Joe, you're absolutely right. The Ron Paul revolution and waking up the population has awakened a lot of people. And Ron Paul also caused a lot of the Democrats to go after and support Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders is also after the big banks, also after Wall Street, also against the TPP. And quite frankly, had Bernie Sanders gotten the Democratic Party nomination, I don't know if Donald Trump in a legitimate election would have beaten Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders had such a huge grassroots movement of the Democrats. I don't know, Joe. So I'm just really glad that Trump won, and I really believe it was because of our prayer, that asking God to expose Hillary Clinton and make us realize that when we pray, we generate scalar waves, which are energy waves that literally change the fabric of space-time, and we're operating in faith when we do that. And we have to understand something, guys. We've got to continue to pray in the aggregate as Christians for Donald Trump. We have to pray that he stays frosty, that he stays true to his values that brought him here, that he continues to dance with who brought him to this election, and that he doesn't walk away and turn back into the total globalist that all these other guys have been since John F. Kennedy. I mean, John F. Kennedy was really the last president we had, except for Donald Trump now, that really has the will of the people on his mind. And I love the fact that he wanted, I think I read today that he put a picture of Andrew Jackson in the Oval Office. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, I would have used the Jackson Bible if they had it available, unless it's in a private collection, to take my oath of office on, because that's how strongly I believe in what Andrew Jackson did. And hopefully Donald Trump is aware of all of that, because he comes across like he doesn't really know what's going on in some cases, but the guy's really sharp. He wouldn't have generated all of that money and all that wealth, Doug, and Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, had it not been for the fact that he's not some dummy. I mean, he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have worked with all those construction guys and not had his basically clock clean from a scam standpoint. He's a good business guy, and hopefully he can get Congress to support him and do what he needs to do to make this thing happen for the whole country, Joe. What do you think?
No, I think you're exactly right with your analysis of, you know, the political movement behind Paul and Trump. And, you know, we only have about a minute and a half till the break. But one of the things you mentioned is, you know, Trump and his real estate dealings and his business dealings. I've always wondered this, and this is, of course, speculation. You know, being in a lot of these major cities, especially New York, wouldn't he have to have some kind of relationship? Not that, you know, there's anything criminal that went on, but, you know, the mob is still heavy in some of these bigger cities. and they still have control of unions and whatnot, he would have to be able to work around, you know, work around that to continue to be successful in New York. So, I mean, his whatever lack of political experience he has, I definitely think, as you said, he is much smarter. And I saw a story about, I don't know if this is true or not, I've seen a few stories about his IQ. Apparently it's very high. Not that that's an indicator for success, but it's something that, you know, he might have a very fast and sharp learning curve. And, you know, he might be able to pick up on things a lot faster. And we've seen so much, you know, all these executive actions and the pace of his presidency. And I've heard a lot about, you know, him not sleeping a lot, him being, you know, a very intense worker, you know, wanting to get things done and wanting to do them at his pace, not at the pace of those around him. And that's a good indicator for me that, you know, we've seen what he's done in this short period of time. And we've seen, you know, how many of his promises that he made during the campaign that he's already fulfilled. And we're only in his, you know, he 7 days ago was his inauguration. So it makes you wonder, what can he accomplish if he keeps up this pace in a 4-year presidential term, if he's unhindered? And, you know, that brings back to mind the Federal Reserve things and a lot of other serious issues that we have in this country, the poverty issues, we have the jobless issues. And I think that he's gonna do a good job. As long as he's unhindered, he's gonna continue to try to build America. And the prayer that you mentioned, you know, we had Pastor Langford on Wednesday, we had Pastor Keith Idem yesterday, and both of these men talked about the need to continue the prayers at the same pace that we had before the election, praying that Hillary Clinton was not our president and Donald Trump was. We need to continue that pace now that he is president. We can't sit back. We're up against the break, folks. We'll be right back with our final segment with Dr. Ted Brewer of HealthMasters.com right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report with our guest, Dr. Ted Brewer from HealthMasters.com, also radio show host with his son, Austin, right here on Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank each and every one of you for hanging in there with us, covering a lot of information in this show. We got about 27 minutes left. Ted, I don't know where you want to go with this segment. I got some stories we can get into, or we can get into whatever what's on your mind.
Well, let's talk one more time about the cortisol buster and how it really, really just massively increases mental acuity. And so I love the product. I'm on it tonight and I feel absolutely wonderful. And so you can go to use Doug5 coupon, D-O-U-G-5. It's 5% off site wide, everything, the 3-pack specials, everything, 5% off at healthmasters.com. And I want to thank you guys so much. I love you guys and I appreciate you. And I want to thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us, because a lot of people don't want to do anything besides a multiple vitamin. I'm okay with that, because a multiple vitamin is pretty much one of the most important things you can take. We have one of the highest quality multiple vitamins available. It's in a cellulose gel capsule, powder and capsule. It's like 4 times as quickly assimilatable as the normal, as like a regular gel cap or a regular, you know, capsule would be. Plus it's powdered vitamins and we have methylated B vitamins. So it's a phenomenal product. You got to take several a day to get your dosing in there because, you know, it's not a chemical extract. So it's a really good product. So if you guys are just going to get your multiple vitamins from us, thank you. And if you want to listen to Austin's and my show today, every day of 3 to 4 and immediately following this show on Global Star Satellite, we thank you for that too. Thank you for supporting Hagman. If you can go to Hagman's website, and there'll be a little thing there, a little punch button, so you can say, you know, donate. And if everybody listening tonight would just give the Hagmans $1 or $5 or $10 or $100 or $1,000, whatever you want to give, whatever this show has been worth to you tonight, give it to the Hagmans, because it'll really help support them and support their ministry. And yes, I indeed call this a ministry, though it is not nonprofit. It is still a ministry to them as far as it's reaching a lot of people that are lost and who need Jesus Christ, who needs Yeshua as their personal Lord and Savior. And so when you support organizations like HealthMasters.com or HagmanHagman.com, when you do that, it really makes us feel appreciated, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for doing that. Because, guys, it's nice to know that people care, and they support you with their dollars, and they support you because you realize this, guys, we are self-funded.
you know, we don't have a bunch of huge national sponsors coming on our shows and, you know, and so providing us enough revenue to cover all of this. So we're here giving you alternative news out on the front lines, you know, the tip of the spear, so to speak, and us and the other alternative talk show hosts are the ones that are out there. A lot of us are taking a lot of, you know, flack because of what we believe and what we do and how we try to help people. So thank you for your support. We really, really appreciate it. I learned a long time ago, God's will done God's way always has God's support. So thanks again so much. By the way,
another way to support the radio show is to support our sponsors. You know, the having advertisers and sponsors is a way for us to self-support. But we have to have a base that supports our sponsors as well.
That's correct. Very important. Because if you don't support the sponsors, what ends up happening is the sponsors no longer sponsor the show. Because right. They have to, when you advertise on a show like Hagman and Hagman or any kind of talk show, you have to generate enough revenue to cover the cost of the advertisement. And that's how we're able to stay on the air. So we want to, again, just thank you. My show and Austin's show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. And so we thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Oh, by the way, Paris now, Joe, is banning cars that have been registered before the year 2000 in a bid to combat city pollution. And now they're saying that they're putting a big restriction on diesels that are very clean burning. And now they're basically trying to ban a bunch of these vehicles. I don't know what they're thinking about doing because there's literally millions of these cars in the city and the surrounding areas that will no longer be able to come into Paris and no longer allow them to be transporting people into the city. So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, I learned something the other day. You know, diesels have now been really on the just absolutely been attacked by the globalists. It started with Volkswagen. I know Jim Willie said, I know that everything he says is correct, but a lot of the stuff he says is good. He says that Volkswagen had developed new manifold technology that was using water jackets in the manifold of the car, which was boiling the water, converting it to steam, with a secondary pump to push the car like a steam engine down the road getting 150 miles per gallon. And that the globalists had told them that they could not produce that product and they decided to produce it anyhow. And then they got slammed by the EPA, you know, with now almost $19 billion in fines because of that, which has really put a giant damper on the company and crushed its stock. And the thing about this is that a lot of times these globalists will do stuff like this because, again, they're being run by the Rothschild banking cartel, and then the cartel will come up and buy up the common shares of stock and start taking control in the preferred stock and start taking control of the corporations. And I've seen that repeatedly, and this is what they did in Germany in the early 1900s. We mentioned this in the first hour, to take over a lot of the blue chip companies in Germany. And that's why when Hitler nationalized the Federal Reserve Bank in Germany, and basically took over control and started issuing debt-free currency, he also took away a lot of the corporations that they had taken over and basically returned them back to the German people, which is something that we could also do in the United States. But guys, listen to me for a second. We've got to learn that we've got to take control of all of this, because now Volkswagen had massive fines, and now they're going after Dodge, which is using a Mercedes diesel engine, and they're saying that it's not meeting qualifications. I've got a friend of mine who has a diesel Mercedes SUV, loves it. It gets over 30 miles per gallon, big 7-passenger SUV, got tremendous amounts of torque or pull about anything. He loves the vehicle, and he wants to trade it in on a new one, but they're not selling diesels with Mercedes anymore, and they have not issued any dates as to when they're going to re-release them, because they must have known this was coming down the pike towards them also. And whenever a country starts to run out of money, like the United States has done, then we start fining these manufacturers, because that's what we do, for not doing anything incorrectly. Now, I realize that in the warm-up procedures of these diesels, they were cheating on the doggone emissions controls. I got that. But the emissions cafe requirements that the EPA has issued now on the United States production of these vehicles is absolutely ludicrous. Obama's even pushing it even higher. Even Trump said it wasn't even obtainable because of the large amount of trucks that we have in the United States. So guys, they want the EPA average fuel mileage of these fleets to be 35 in just a few years. That's literally an impossibility. I mean, it's just, you know, not with the current technology. Now, if you reintroduce the manifold technology, if that does indeed exist, that Volkswagen supposedly had developed, then that's probably possible. Or if you introduce Tesla technology and you allow us to pull energy out of the air, which will turn an electric car, which we can easily do. We have that technology now. Tesla had that technology 100 years ago. Then we could actually have smog-free cities and not have this pollution coming in from all of these internal combustion engines. So we have to learn that there's advanced technology. In fact, Trump said something about that in his inauguration speech, if you remember, Joe, about the advanced technologies that we have now have available, and hopefully he's going to release some of this information to the population to allow us to realize that, hey, look, we don't have to be driving around in an internal combustion engine that was built in the late 1800s by diesel, by Mercedes and those guys. We don't need to, you know, Mercedes-Benz. We don't need to be driving cars that are 140-year-old technology. It's nonsense. And we need to realize that there's all kinds of additional technology that we have that we've learned from retrofitting, you know, going in and getting some of these ancient spacecrafts and things they found on the planet, and you know, and supposedly these crashes in Roswell, and they've retro-engineered these spaceships, and they have all this advanced technology. If you read the book The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso, he goes into detail on that, and you can also read The Money Mafia by Helluride. Now, when I promote all of these books, I don't have any interest in these books. I don't have any money or monetary influence on these at all. I'm just telling you these are really good books to read, and they go into detail about what's going on with quote-unquote alien technology and how it developed. In fact, I did an entire show a few months ago on the Hagman and Hagman show, breaking all of this stuff down for like 2 or 3 hours, Joe. You remember that one, in which we went into detail. I read over 2,000 pages to produce that one show for 3 hours. So if you guys want to go back and learn about all you stuff you don't want to know, it's in that particular show that we did.
And Ted, you know, you mentioned Nikola Tesla, and I've been reading some things, and I just went and searched for it to make sure that it was still there. Apparently, when Nikola Tesla died, the scientist who started operating under some of his works and patents was Donald Trump's uncle, Dr. John Trump. And I just started reading about this the other day. I don't have a good grip on exactly what... the PBS even ran a special Tesla, the Master of Lighting, the Missing Papers, where they talk about the morning after the inventor's death, his nephew Seva hurried to his uncle's room at the Hotel New Yorker, and Dr. John Trump, who was an electrical engineer with the National Defense Research, was tasked for going over Tesla's work. So I wonder if there was any connection there as far as the information and the knowledge of the technology that was passed down.
Well, all I know is this. You know, we are being run by a crime cabal. The entire planet is. And this cabal, for some reason, gave Donald Trump the nod to be president. Now, I know that's from prayer. I know that's from the Christians voting. I know all of it. But he hasn't been assassinated. He was walking down the parade route without any type of guard around him, any kind of plexiglass around him, and he's still here. So there's some stuff going on with him, and that's why when they asked me last year on your show, you guys asked me on your show and on Dave Hodges asked me the same thing, if I trust Donald Trump 100%, the answer is absolutely not. The only person I trust 100% is Yeshua and Yahweh. That's it. And you know, it says, because I don't know enough about Donald Trump. Now, I like Donald Trump. I like his personality. I think he's going to do a whole lot more for the country as far as maintaining our Second Amendment and First Amendment rights. And hopefully he'll start getting rid of the NSA and the National Defense Authorization Act and a whole bunch of other junk that we don't need, including the Department of Education and the Department of Energy, including alcohol, tobacco, and fireworks. We don't need that. These agencies can be folded into other organizations, and we have massive, massive cutbacks in government expenses. I mean, one of the biggest things that grew under the Obama administration were federal employees, Joe, that were making over $100,000 a year. I mean, it's just an explosion on that. Because, I mean, you know, look at all the handlers his wife had, and all the huge salaries that they had. I mean, this is nuts what this group of people have done coming into the White House. Because, I don't know. There's a lot of different people out there with a lot of different schools of thought on Donald Trump. I hope he is who he says he is. God help us that he is. And God help him if he's not, to become who he's supposed to be and who he projected to be. Because it's really important that we all continue to pray that. So anyhow, so that's what's going on in Paris with things. Now also, the Davos elites have now called for a ban on physical cash in the United States. I mean, if you think the elites aren't watching this unfold with sheer delight, you're mistaken. Globally, a war on cash has been declared, and India has now proved that it can be done with very little consequences to the existing government. Guys, they have to do this. The Bible says they're going to do a one new world order. It's going to be a cashless society with the mark of the beast. They have to do it, and here's why. the Ponzi scheme cannot be continued with currency in circulation because they can't print enough of it in circulation and distribute it. But with the computer grid they set up around us, with the control grid that they're doing through their D-Wave computers, they can control everybody's output and production and amount of money they have in their accounts by just doing dots and dashes on a computer screen. You don't have to get physical cash. I mean, that was one of the big problems in 1929. People did runs on the banks, and they came in and they tried to withdraw all of their savings accounts, which had been loaned out for loans, and the money didn't exist. It had been loaned out to other people. You know, when you watch that one movie, It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart, you see that. See, when the banks collapse, it's because people remove the funds, because they have a 40-to-1 ratio now. It used to be 10-to-1 before they got rid of Glass-Steagall. Now it's 40-to-1, which they can bring in $1,000 from a depositor and loan out $40,000 and create a lot of debt. And that's how they do this. And see, they have to be able to do that with cyber currency, so to speak, with dots and dashes, and not with physical currency, because there's simply not enough currency in circulation to pay these quadrillions of dollars in derivatives. It doesn't exist. But if they can go to a cashless society, doggone it, Joe, they can finish their Ponzi scheme and skate on the doggone thing, because they can just keep adding stuff to the computer's monitors. And see, that's a problem that we have with this control grid that's been set up around us through this satanic cabal that runs this new world order through the banking system. And speaking of satanic cabals, the captain of the Titanic, Angela Merkel, is now saying that she is standing by her insane immigration policies, and she says she will fight terrorism with compassion. She said in a speech a few days ago that she affirmed that her government will win the fight against terrorism with compassion, and has denied that her open-door mass migration policy, which has made Germany one of the rape capitals of Europe, was wrong. I mean, this lady, you talk about a nutbag. This lady's nuts.
And the, you know, this is right along the lines with what we talked about with the New York Times story. Don't, I mean, it's like, if, I know this is a bad analogy, if an invading army was coming in and you saw them marching, and then you heard people say, oh, don't call them by their name, you might antagonize them more, and don't fight back, cause they might retaliate. It's just so crazy. It's beyond passive, this mentality. I mean, who in their, well, it's one thing to have compassion. It's another thing to let these people roll over you, commit crimes against you, and just lay back and do nothing. That is, to me, that's not even biblical.
Yeah, they teach women that if they're being raped by these Muslims, not to fight back, just to urinate and defecate on themselves while they're being raped, and that'll gross the guy out so bad that he'll walk away and not finish raping you. And I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that. My response is this. I have a concealed weapon. If I saw a woman being raped by a group of these guys, I would pull out my gun and I would just stop it. I would just stop it. I mean, defecating and urinating on yourself is ridiculous. Or rolling up in a ball and start crying. I mean, I don't even know. It's like you said, Joe. It's like they have these things they say that are so stupid that it's almost hard to believe they actually believe what they're saying. It's almost like the Bible says, and the Bible's clear about this, that a veil has been cast over the minds of the unbeliever. And the veil's been done through the radio systems in the United States. It's been done through the TV sets, through the alpha and the theta brainwave states. We've done entire shows on this and how that works to tie us into the grid, to put us in a state of learned helplessness and, you know, and normalcy bias. This is what they've done to us. They've taken the United States and they've turned us into a bunch of sissies, a bunch of pansies. You know, not me, not you, not your dad, and not the people that listen to the show, but in general. I mean, they have safe spaces now. I mean, you've got people now who are having, when Donald Trump was being inaugurated at Ohio State University, they had safe spaces for the students to go to play with their Play-Doh and pet their puppies and to have support while he was doing his inauguration speech, because they were coming apart at the seams because Donald Trump had won. When the gay Kenyan won for the second term in the White House, you know, nobody went out and did all of this. It's complete nonsense. I mean, to me, my only response about Obama is ding dong, the Kenyan's gone. That's how I feel about him being gone. I don't even like talking about him. I don't even want to mention Hillary Clinton's name anymore, except when she shows back up like a, you know, like some kind of, I mean, she talks about sacrificing a chicken to Moloch. Who talks like this? Who, the bloodletting, the blood soul cooking, all of these nutbags things they talked about the week before the election. I mean, Joe, all of that stuff was real that they were doing and they were involved in that was released through WikiLeaks. The sad part about it is the American population, 95% of them, 90% of them have no idea those stories were even released. They have no idea how whacked out and how sicko these people are and what they really believe. They believe that selling human baby parts, even if the fetus is still alive, is okay and that's cool. I mean, it's not cool. Nothing's cool about it. The problem is Planned Parenthood's out there doing this, merchandising on this, putting baby parts in a lot of soft drinks and, you know, using for flavoring agents. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. I've written entire articles on it. And the sad part about all of this stuff is the vast majority of the population thinks that glyphosate, Roundup, is safe. They think that GMOs are safe. They think that immunizations are safe. They think that the MMR shots are safe. They think that all of these things are okay to do because they've been told that over and over and over again with disinformation, which is another word for lies. This was done and taught to us and taught to our manufacturers by Bernays, who was a cousin of Sigmund Freud. They were both Sabbatean Kabbalists. They were both Satanists. And they were able to completely learn to manipulate people through Skinner and through that operant and classical conditioning that they brought into our university system in the late 1800s. This is what Charlotte Isbury talks in her books, and you can watch her on YouTube. I mean, this is what they've done. And now they've trained us like a bunch of lab rats to believe everything that we see on the TV and everything that we hear on the radio and everything that we hear from these commercials they tell us, and the thing's a bunch of lies. So finally, the mainstream media is realizing that people are waking up from their slumber and they're saying, enough. The German word is genug. We've had enough of this. We don't want to listen to this trash anymore, and we're going to walk away from this nonsense. We're not going to live like this anymore, and we're not going to believe these lies. It's like you said earlier in the show, Joe. You know, when I had Barbara come into the office and she told me that she wasn't suffering from a major disease, so she considered herself to be healthy. You know, you said something so right. These drugs that we take, they don't correct the condition. They treat the symptoms. In other words, if you have a headache, you don't have a deficiency of aspirin or Tylenol or ibuprofen. You could have a brain tumor. You could have hypoglycemia. You could have high blood sugar. You could have a whole host of things. You could have brain trauma. You could have a caffeine withdrawal. But you don't have an aspirin or Tylenol deficiency. And see, that's the thing people need to get. If you've got a problem with high blood pressure, you don't have a deficiency of that drug. If you've got a problem with ED, you don't have a deficiency of Viagra. You don't have a deficiency of Cialis. You've got a circulation problem. That's the problem. You don't have enough nitric oxide in your system, and you've got a circulation problem. So if you take a product that increases nitric oxide, that increases circulation, like our HGH stimulate, you correct these types of conditions in most cases without the use of a drug that can make you go blind and deaf. I mean, people don't get this. So you've got to go back to the root cause and treat the problem, not the symptom. The same thing is true with ADD with kids. They've been given Ritalin, Adderall. Ritalin and Adderall are Schedule II drugs in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. I mean, these are Schedule II drugs. I mean, these are strong, strong drugs. These kids don't have a deficiency of Ritalin. These are amphetamine salts. Methylphenidate is Ritalin. Methamphetamine is meth. They're almost identical in their molecular structure. And these kids get addicted to it. No one bothers to tell them that if they're put on these drugs for an extended period of time, that the military of the United States will not even allow them to serve in the armed forces of America because of this addictive quality of being on amphetamines. So you've got to make people realize, Joe, that these drugs do not correct the problems, that they just treat the symptoms. And unless you find the root cause of the problem, you're going to be taking drugs for the rest of your life, masking the symptoms. You've got to figure out what it is. Years ago, I found out I was itching real bad. And I found that I had a tomato allergy that I developed as I got older. And the turmeric that we take completely controls it. But I just stay off of tomatoes so I don't have the itching problem. And the craziest thing is this. I could have taken turmeric until the cows came home, and I would have corrected the itching problem by doing that. But the problem was I had a tomato deficiency. I'm sorry, not a deficiency, a tomato allergy. Now, you have to ask yourself another question. What could have caused that? And I'm working on that right now with my own body chemistry, trying to figure out exactly what caused that. And I'm finding some things now that I can do to correct that without having to do drugs. I've never taken drugs for this, but I did have a blood test to try to determine what was wrong and why I was having these itching problems. And by the way, I want to mention one more thing off the tough subject of nutrition. By the way, you can go to healthmasters.com and learn a whole lot more. Sign up for our free newsletter, and we'll send you out newsletter links every day along with a link to our current talk show. Pentagon, F-35, I mentioned it earlier, over $1 trillion now in long-term budgeting for this, is unfit for combat with 200 176 deficiencies and counting. It is a flawed project that is 70% over cost and years behind budget. I mean, they couldn't even get the F-22 Raptor to fly right without breaking down, and then they decided to scrap that whole project and start on the F-35, complete and total debacle, take the money from this ridiculous airplane, put a bunch of F-18s back in the air. Or how about this? How about we use the anti-gravity technology that we've had for many, many years that the Germans developed back in the 30s? Why don't we use that technology on our airplanes and allow them to fly with a minimal amount of fuel and allow them to do all kinds of neat maneuvers without having to pollute the atmosphere at a fraction of the cost? We have the technology. The breakaway society has the technology. Why don't we do that? Why don't we take this advanced technology, scrap this garbage that we're building, build some real airplanes, some real spaceships, which we can do, and then turn, or which we probably have already done, Joe, be honest with you, and then leave these huge budget boondoggles behind us and spend some of that money building a wall across Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were talking about the develop. I don't know why I stuck on this. The developing the tomato allergy. We only have like 3-4 minutes left, Ted. But if I can get this question in, if you know the answer, what causes people to develop these strange allergies? You know, midway through their life, so you know, into their 30s and 40s. Because I've seen and I know a few people who've had the same problem. Some are more severe than others.
Well. They gave us the polio stuff and the tuberculosis stuff, and a lot of us were infected with simian 60 virus, and either simian 60 or simian 40, I don't remember which one it was, which was a live virus they gave us, which is from monkey kidney cells. And these things have a tendency to do things to your immune system over the years that you've been exposed to it, which can cause things like leaky gut, which can cause allergies. In addition to that, can cause breast cancer and brain cancer and bone cancer. That's why so many people come down with these diseases along with a bad food supply. Plus, in addition to that, you have a lot of nutrient deficiencies, which of course would not have been my case because I supplement my diet. But I think it may have been something that happened to me with the polio. You know, the stuff they gave me for that. Because remember, they gave us live virus back in the 60s, and it has caused a huge problem with the kids my age that got that particular drug. But because of the epigenetics of that drug doing things to us, if we eat the right foods and drink the right water, et cetera, we can greatly offset a lot of that. But a lot of the stuff they did to us was done intentionally. And you guys can go back and look at, there's a book called, I think it's called Mary's Monkey. I believe that was what it's called, but I can try to find, I've got a copy of it. I can't remember. I read it a long time ago, and it talked about how a lot of this stuff that was done to us was done in person, on intentionally as a mass experimentation because of that Joshua Group's wanting us to basically reduce the population of the planet, and they can do so by the vaccines. And now, of course, we have over 70 vaccines being given to children, which have been linked by Thompson with the FDA, with the CDC, to cancer. Remember, the CDC owns over 20 patents on vaccines, and they sell almost $5 billion worth of these vaccines every single year. I mean, this is like a for-profit organization that makes huge amounts of money in vaccinations and selling vaccines. And they're the ones who have been put out there, according to Robert Kennedy, who's going to be heading this committee with Trump. They've been put out there to be the watchdog with these vaccines, and they're in the middle of this getting patents on Ebola virus and everything else to sell more vaccines. So it's kind of like letting the fox guard the hen house. So yeah, there's some major problems associated with the CDC. To me, it's a criminal organization along with the FDA, and they're both totally corrupt as far as I'm concerned, Joe. And that's how I look at this entire group of people in the federal government, because they just need to be replaced, just like the State Department pretty much cleared itself out this week with Donald Trump taking in office, because they know that they're about to get themselves busted for what happened in Benghazi, and they're trying to, I think personally, they're shredding papers and cleaning out computer files and basically, you know, getting out of Dodge before he comes in with the new administration. But I'm not sure about that, but we'll find out pretty quick.
Ted, we have about a minute until the end of our show. I want to thank you so much for coming on and coming on that extra hour, folks. We had two new citizen commentators that we were going to bring on, and with my dad taking the evening off, we're going to push those back to next week. I want to thank John for setting that up, and Ted, I want to thank you for coming on that extra hour. You covered so much information, and again, folks, healthmasters.com is Ted's website. He's got the new Cortisol. Oh, thank you, Eric. Cortisol Buster. I don't know why I can't remember that. It's a little strange, but Cortisol Buster, $39 on healthmasters.com. It's the latest to help reduce stress and boost testosterone. And, Doug5 is the coupon code, Doug5 on healthmasters.com. Ted, thank you so much for coming on and spending the time.
Joe, my pleasure as always. Love you guys. Thank you so much for the audience to listening tonight. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate you, buddy.
Well, we appreciate you, and you tell your family, hello. We said hi, and look forward to continue working together in the future. All right, that'll do it for us. We have reached the end of the program. We got we had a great week this week. We have a fantastic week planned for you next week. And if anything crazy happens this weekend, you can guarantee we'll be taking to the airwaves. I don't know what will be defined as crazy, but you'll know it when you see it. Also, I'll be on Dave Hodges on Sunday night. We got a lot of things we're going to get into there as well. So make sure you listen to the Common Sense Show this weekend. That'll do it for us tonight. Stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening. Stay warm if you're in the Northeast where we are. We got lots of snow coming, so be careful. Have a good weekend, everyone.